You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The Recruiter, a new documentary that was shot largely in Houma, a Gulf Coast, Louisiana community outside New Orleans, focuses on the efforts of an Army sergeant to enlist new soldiers into the U.S. Army as the list of casualties in Iraq continues to climb. In a few minutes, I'll speak with that man, Sergeant First Class Clay Uzi, one of the most successful Army recruiters working in America. He was named Soldier of the Year in 2004 by the Army Times, one of the 1.3 million people serving in the Army, and he was the Soldier of the Year. But first, I'm joined by Edith Belzberg, who both directed and produced the film, which was an official selection at this year's Sundance Film Festival. It debuts tonight at 9 p.m. on HBO, and I'm very pleased to welcome Edith Belzberg to the show. Hi.
Hi, thank you.
How did you come to make this film in Houma, Louisiana, of all places? Is this an area that was affected by Hurricane Katrina?
Oh, I started before Katrina, and it was affected, but not as significantly as some of the other areas around. But I started way before Katrina. The height of the war, it was in 2004, and I was daily reading the New York Times, and every day I would read the box of names of individuals who had been killed, and I felt extremely disconnected. It was the name, their ages, often as young as 18, 19, 20, coming from towns I had never heard of before, and I wanted to know more.
And you include some statistics in the film. Over 44% of the military recruits in this country come from rural areas, areas like Houma.
Yes, that's correct.
Are people more likely to be in support of the war in Iraq in Houma than if they'd lived in a large city?
That's interesting. I think people, it's when I would go to Houma, it was as if I were going to a country at war, literally at war. Everyone was affected by it in some way. Everyone knew someone who was serving or who had been killed or injured. So there was a deep, you felt that the weight of the war constantly when I was in Houma.
Your film follows four new recruits during their last semesters of high school as Sergeant Uzi prepares them for boot camp. I was amazed at how much they were willing to reveal about their personal lives in this film. Has that happened to you in making other films?
Yes, it has. I feel it's a gift when people let me into their life like that. And I did spend quite a bit of time with them, and I think they wanted to share their stories with me, and they felt comfortable to do so.
And the four of them, Lauren, Matt, Bobby, and Chris, all have very different reasons and rationales for joining the Army. But you get the feeling that they all want to escape.
I think for Matt, Chris, and Lauren, it's interesting escape. They're 17 when I meet them, and it's a very tumultuous period, I think, in anyone's life at 17, and particularly in a few of the subjects' lives in the film. I think Lauren wanted something better for herself. I think she saw the Army as a way out. Economically, she thought it was the only possibility, really, for her to receive the education she so desperately wanted.
She thinks she's going to be encouraged to be an artist while she's in the Army.
I think she felt that she could endure the years that she signed up for and put her dream on hold. And I think she thought that was the only way she could actually attain her dream.
But you do get the feeling that and maybe this is true of many of these small towns, that this is a way to escape a future of dead-end jobs and limited opportunities in general.
For some, yes. For Bobby, you know, I think I follow the kids I follow really are a variety of why people join. Bobby, his parents, you know, a lawyer and a biology teacher. His mother's a biology teacher, and neither of them wanted him to join. He was an honor student. They could afford his college education, and he wanted to join, I think, in part, as he says, for the adventure, even though he didn't know what it quite was. And also, he wanted to follow in the footsteps, I think, of his father and grandparents who also served.
And his father says that he can't try to talk him out of serving after all he had been in the military and his father had. But the other kids, you also get the feeling that this is a way they see in the Army of working out personal problems, mm-hmm. problems of self-esteem, yes. or from conflict within their families.
And I think that's also why Sergeant Yuze is so successful with these kids, is that he's able to be there for them, oftentimes when their parents and family and peers and teachers are not.
Because he becomes a big brother, a father, the teacher they always wanted to have.
Absolutely.
You were also able to follow these recruits into basic training. Was mm-hmm. the Army willing to give you all that access?
They were. I have to admit that the contract I received from the Army was one of the most filmmaker-friendly contracts I've ever received. I think they gave me the access, and ultimately was at the discretion of the drill sergeants as to how much access I would get. We started doing exercises with the platoons. And so I think when we were with them from 4 in the morning until very late at night, we kind of fell in.
Well, the film does try to tell the full story, but mm-hmm. it doesn't really take sides, and mm-hmm. I'm sure the Army appreciated that you weren't slanting any of it to make a point.
And that's something early on I really wanted it to be from their perspective, from the recruiter's perspective. Well, I wanted people to understand where the recruiter was coming from, and equally importantly, I wanted people to understand the people who were joining the military. As I said, I did this film because I felt no connection to the men and women who were serving, and I wanted to understand them before they were soldiers, and I wanted to see that transition from teenager to soldier and to follow that trajectory.
You do include people reacting to news reports of the growing number of fatalities in Iraq, because that is something that mm-hmm. the recruiters have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's when you start seeing things change. Shortly after that funeral, you do see Sergeant Yuze is making a presentation and everyone in the audience walks out. And I think you see a real shift in the community in terms of their feelings towards the war when they lost 6 National Guards from home in Louisiana.
Another statistic you cite in the film is that the mortality rate for soldiers from rural America is roughly 60% higher than the mortality rate for soldiers from metropolitan areas. Are there any theories as to why that is?
I'm not sure. I haven't been able to find anything concrete, but I think it has something to do with the jobs that they choose, that they're more likely to choose infantry or combat-related jobs rather than combat support.
Mm-hmm. The Army desertion rate has shown an 80% increase mm-hmm. since the invasion of Iraq. Do you think that's because of concerns about the legitimacy of the war, or because the Army is enlisting people who may not be the best fits?
I think a combination. I mean, I think there are many reasons why the desertion rate is high, but I think when, as we see in the film, when someone is joining because they feel that this is the only opportunity for an education, it's a very difficult feeling to sustain.
So we see a full range here. We see mm-hmm. one kid who really goes very far in the military, and mm-hmm. another one who has major problems. At one point in the film, we see another recruiter, somebody other than Sergeant Yuze, being pressured to improve his numbers. And the implication is that if he doesn't sign up more people, he'll be reassigned. There's a lot of pressure on these guys.
An enormous amount of pressure. And in fact, that recruiter has, I just spoke with him, and he's decided to return to the regular Army, and he will deploy to Iraq in the next few months because he just did not want to recruit any longer.
What happened at the end of the making of the film? Where did things stand? The four kids were in the military, and Sergeant Yuze, he had been reassigned?
Sergeant Yuze is reassigned. He became a Ranger, which was his dream for a long time. He's just been selected to promotion as Master Sergeant, and he's going to start his new job soon. Matt, who you see deploying at the end of the film, has currently, he served 15 months in Iraq. He was survived an RPG attack and a suicide bombing attack. He was severely injured, and he will be receiving a Purple Heart. He has chosen, rather than go to through a second tour, which he would have started this fall, he has chosen to become a recruiter.
We will be talking to Sergeant Yuze in just a moment. My great thanks to Edith Belzberg, who is the writer, the director, and the producer of this film called The Recruiter, which is being broadcast tonight at 9 p.m. on HBO. And joining me now is Sergeant Clay Uze. Hi, are you still a Sergeant First Class, or did you make it to Master Sergeant?
I am actually still a Sergeant First Class, and I'm pending promotion. I was selected to the fiscal year 2008 Master Sergeant list. There's three more sequence numbers before my promotion is effective, so I'm anticipating within the next 30 to 60 days that I'll pin on that rank.
Was being a recruiter just a temporary assignment?
Yes, sir, it was.
You've also done three tours of duty in Afghanistan, haven't you?
Yes, I have, sir.
Have you ever served in Iraq?
No, I haven't.
So what happened after this film was made? Where did you go?
I continued on to a leadership school, which is called the Advanced Non-Commissioned Officers Course. It's part of the non-commissioned officers education system within the United States Army, and a required course to graduate from to be eligible for selection to Master Sergeant.
Now you, go ahead.
Once I completed that, I attended the Ranger Orientation Program at 75th Ranger Regimental Headquarters and was selected to be a platoon sergeant in the communications field for 2nd Ranger Battalion. And I served there for 2 years. Currently, I am en route to my next assignment at Fort Benning, Georgia, with the 75th Ranger Regiment.
Now, considering how successful you were as a recruiter, I would have thought that they would have wanted to keep you in that job forever. You were able to enlist 72 new recruits in 3 years when you were in recruiting duty. The average for a three-year tour is 30 recruits. And what do you think your the reason for your success is? Is it because you emphasize love of country when you're recruiting?
I truly believe that's the ticket right there. You know, I wasn't much on, you know, for lack of a better term, selling benefits. You know, most of the recruits that I talked to that I personally enjoyed working with were your more patriotic flavor. You know, first and foremost, you know, recruiting duty is a selected duty. My branch manager asked me to volunteer. I evaluated it, and at that point in my career, I was looking at either being selected as a drill sergeant or a recruiter. So I made the personal decision based on my needs and my family's needs to go ahead and accept the recruiting assignment. And it was good duty, you know, but I think I represented the Army. You know, I represented myself as a soldier because ultimately that's what a military recruiter is. They're that soldier, sailor, airman, marine, a coastie, you know, from the Coast Guard that's representing their branch of service. And they're an ambassador to the community on the military service.
In this case, an ambassador to the community you grew up in. You're
yes.
from HOMA.
Yes,
and you became a lifer in the military. How many more years will you have to serve before you can retire?
I will have 13 years of active federal service on the 15th of next month. So in 7 years, give or take a few days, I'll be eligible for retirement. You know, I really think that it was my calling, public service. And ultimately, I'd probably say around the age of 12 to 13, I knew that military service was something that I was going to go after at some point in my life. You know, as my time as a recruiter, you know, all I tried to do was give the best example of a mentor and a role model to these young men and women from the ages of 17 to 40, for that matter. You know, the best example I could as a soldier in the Army and, you know, to live the warrior ethos and continue to soldier as I was on recruiting duty.
And you work really closely with these kids to get them ready for basic training.
Yes, sir.
Do most recruiters devote as much time to the job as you do? Must they to be successful?
You know, it's hard for me to say. You know, I know we had our own SOP, or, you know, standard operating procedures amongst my company. You know, I had a first sergeant who's a now retired command sergeant major, Sergio Rivera. God bless him. He was one of the best leaders that I've ever worked under. He's a very motivating leader. You know, my station commander, Sergeant First Class LeBlanc, who's also a Master Sergeant Select, that's still out in the recruiting community. We tried to do things that we thought would work well for our community. You know, it's a very diverse environment. So it's really hard for me to say what would work in New York, California, the Midwest. I know what works for us in South Louisiana, and I know that I'm a truly caring and compassionate leader. And I wanted these recruits, if they accepted the responsibility of defending America, I wanted to give them all the tools necessary, mentally and physically, to be as successful as they could when they entered basic training onto their career.
It involved making certain sacrifices in your personal life. The film shows you getting up very early to work out with one of the kids, and then
yes,
you
sir.
Continue until late into the night.
Yes, sir.
Because you feel that what you do is so important?
Yes, sir, I do. And, you know, that's just a depiction of, you know, I'm an illustration of a non-commissioned officer in the Army. You know, can I say how every non-commissioned officer and what their leadership styles are? No, I can't. But the vast majority, and it's specifically where I work now, are the best non-commissioned officers in the world in any military. And we're willing to give of ourselves selflessly. That's part of our oath. That's part of the creeds we live by. And, you know, these young men and women, we have the ultimate responsibility of giving them the tools necessary to be successful, you know, in training and in combat. And I take that duty and responsibility very, very seriously.
At one point in the film, your wife, who comes across as a major booster, is very disappointed when she learns that a small vacation you were supposed to go on had to be shelved because of recruitment commitment. And you have two young daughters, don't you? How much time are you able to spend with them?
You know, we spend an adequate amount of family time. You know, my career in the Army has offered me the opportunity to probably spend more time quality-wise with my family than you think we would. You know, the long breaks and leaves that I'm able to take, the four-day weekends, and there's times away, but I could think of an array of other occupations that kids were probably more of a latchkey kids than our kids are. My kids go to good schools. They're involved in sports and athletic activities. My wife and I put a lot of time into our family. And, you know, that scene there was, you know, kind of a clip shot, but I don't think it's indifferent to any other family where mom and dad both have careers and, you know, daughters that are active. So it was a decision that, you know, I had to make, a personal decision. I was committed to something, and, you know, we just rearranged our schedule.
The film shows the people that you recruited, these four kids, or at least three of them, as they go into basic training. I'm sure you've seen the film. Did you feel that you prepared them adequately?
I do. I think that I prepared them very well. You know, specifically speaking with now Sergeant Berrios and Corporal Marks, both of them received excellent ratings on their physical fitness test in basic training and were two of the top, you know, physical fitness achievers in their basic training. And with Sergeant Berrios going through the 18 X-ray Special Forces program, he was with a very elite group of athletically gifted young men that go into that program. And they're also co-aligned in basic training with the Ranger Indoctrination Program candidates. So as far as physically fit young men, that's the best the Army's got to offer in an eclectic environment all combined. And he was the top physical fitness guy. Lauren Thornton as well. Was very gifted physically. She was an athlete, and she did very well. I know, to my understanding, she was the top rifle marksman in her basic training class for the female basic training candidates. And Christopher Daigle did extremely well as well. He returned after basic training, you know, chest puffed up and a proud soldier. And he worked with us for about 2 weeks on the hometown recruiting assistance program and went on to his ultimate assignment out at Fort Drum, New York. And I hadn't spoke with him in about 18 months or so, but I know he completed one successful tour in Iraq, and he's on his second tour now, from what I understand.
Did you ever get discouraged? There's a scene in the film where you're announced as the next speaker at a high school assembly, and almost all of the students and their parents get up and leave.
Yeah, that was quite the moment. I guess I can attribute that to, you know, any person. It's kind of like, I guess, a rock star if he goes to a concert and everyone walks out on him. But, you know, it was frustrating. It was kind of disheartening. I'll admit it. It was very disheartening. I just thought it was kind of disrespectful on the people that walked out. Because if I attend an event, I'm not going to walk out on a public speaker, especially one that represents freedom. And that's what I assess myself as. I was invited to that to speak about the educational benefits that the United States Army provided. And just out of courtesy and respect, personal values, I would have never walked out on a person like that. But, hey, that's what makes America great. Everyone is entitled to their opinion, and everyone is entitled to their own personal beliefs. You know, we're the land of the home. You know, in HOMA, we have a really eclectic environment as far as industry and stuff. And, you know, a lot of people choose to work in the industry. A lot of people choose to go in the military. But, you know, so we're balanced. You know, but personally, I just thought it was a little rude.
But as the war continues and as more people come back, at least some in body bags, and that's also in the film, do you think it's going to be harder and harder for recruiters to convince people to sign up?
You know, it's really hard to say. You know, I can't really put a finger on it, to be honest with you. I mean, I know that there were challenges out there when I was on recruiting duty, but, you know, as a platoon sergeant in the active forces of the Army now, you know, my guys are extremely motivated. my new privates come in, and they're very well trained, and they're equipped and adequate to assume the responsibilities of combat duty. In my personal experiences, I can't speak on behalf of the entire Army because I'm not in the entire Army. I'm just one small facet in the big picture.
I have to tell you, anybody watching that film has to be impressed by the shape that you're in. When you help these kids work out, it's obvious that you can. You probably can play basketball better than they can. You can run longer than they can. You can lift more weights than they can. So is that part of this whole thing?
Well, I mean, as far as part as, yeah, of course. I mean, you know, as a soldier, we have a responsibility to maintain a certain level of physical fitness. And specifically speaking, as a leader, it's my personal values and amongst the creeds and codes of the non-commissioned officer's creed that I should be able to lead by example. So I take, you know, a very unique interest in my personal physical fitness. But for me, Leonard, you know, I was raised an athletic kid. I started playing organized sports when I was 4 years old. You know, I played high school football, was pretty good. I had an opportunity to walk on to junior college, but it just really wasn't fitting the gamut for me. So I personally enjoy being athletically challenged. And that's the fun thing about working with young men and women, 18, 19 years old. You know, at the time I was 27 to 30. Now I'm 33, but it keeps you young, you know. And I enjoy the camaraderie and the esprit de corps that we share in the military services.
USIE is an odd name. Where does it come from?
It's Canadian French, sir.
This is Cajun area, Houma. H-O-U-M-A, pronounced Houma.
Yes, sir. And the town of Houma gets its name from the Houma Indian tribe. That's the name that was taken back when they settled Houma. But my grandfather is 87. He's still living. We're going to celebrate his birthday here next weekend. But he didn't, like he said, I didn't speak proper English until I was 14 years old. His parents were direct descendants of the Acadian culture from Nova Scotia, Canada.
Has everybody in the town of Houma seen this film, The Recruiter?
I don't think so. You know, I've seen a rough edit, so I know there was some other things going on. I've been pretty busy over the last 2.5 years, 3 years since I've left recruiting duty. So I'm interested in seeing the final product.
Well, I hope you have access to HBO because
it'll be on
HBO. It'll be running a number of times.
Kind of neat. You know, I grew up an HBO kid. I told my daughters that, you know, I said, this used to be the only cable channel we had when I was growing up. Now we have so many selections.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us. Clay Uze, who is a sergeant first class, soon to be master sergeant in the U.S. Army, a lifer, will be retiring. How old will you be when you get out?
Well, if I decide to retire at 20, I'll be 39.
Uh-huh.
But who knows what it'll call that. You know, as long as the Army's willing to employ me and allow me to lead Americans, you know, I really enjoy what I do, and I think it was my ultimate calling.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Leonard.